that sign will be placed right in this area here, would be the location for that gateway sign. The next gateway sign is to be placed on along Highway 41 westbound, and it's near the location of the existing entry sign into Morro Bay, except this sign will be on the easterly side of the intersection at Ironwood, and will one of the requirements of our permit is to remove the existing sign along with Caltrans conditioned our permit that we have to remove the unpermitted church signage there too as a condition of our permit to place that sign. The next level of signage is entry signs, and these are after the visitor exits the freeway into Morro Bay. They're meant to be viewed at lower speeds, convey a little bit more information, and they have directional information regarding commercial centers and popular destinations. We're proposing a sign at near State Park Road and Main Street coming in. This location is at the Quintana Morro Bay Boulevard entrance, and that location is not completely set. It's based on the final design for the roundabout. The proposed location is to be where the existing visitors information sign is at the on the mobile station wall there. That wall will probably have to be removed as part of the roundabout design. So we'll be replacing that with an entrance sign there. Southbound Main at Quintana, another entrance sign. And these have this signage has have people directing people to downtown and the waterfront area. At the Highway 1 off-ramp at Main Street, this is just north of Radcliffe, between Radcliffe and 41. This is Highway 41 at Main Street, and one of the suggestions was to, on the backside of this sign, put directions to Del Mar Park. Although PWAB had some discussion about the Public Works Advisory Board was thinking that maybe directing people to Del Mar Park from this location wouldn't be good because it's such a long drive down Ironwood without any additional signing might not be a good thing to do. Up at the north end of town, an entrance sign at San Jacinto in Maine. Again, directing people to the waterfront in downtown. This was another point of discussion, whether we want some information on that sign about North Morro Bay. Yerba Buena and Maine, another entrance sign location. Then we get down to the level of directional signage, and these are convey more information. They're meant to be viewed at a much slower speed, pedestrian level also, and they assist the unfamiliar traveler navigating about the city, and again they contain information about visitor serving areas and commercial areas within the community. Southbound Main at Marina Drive or Marina have signage pointing to the Embarcadero, boat launch, harbor walk, and public parking. Similar copy on the northbound at Marina. Marina at Embarcadero, we're down on the waterfront. We're directing people to boat launch ramp, Tidelands Park, the harbor walk, and then public parking in either direction. Southbound Main at Harbor, we have the waterfront, beach access, boat launch, downtown, state park. Again, similar copy at Southbound Main at Beach. This has the additional information of the golf course there. Morro Bay Boulevard at Harbor, coming in, directing people to the Embarcadero and downtown with the initial information of government offices, the fire department, city offices, post office, the library, also the transit office. Their discussion felt that waterfront was more generic, and for the unfamiliar tourist, maybe Embarcadero doesn't mean anything to them, but the waterfront does. Mm-hmm. Downtown or Old Town, they had consensus about downtown rather than Old Town. The discussion was Old Town connotates that there's a new town also, and it might be confusing. On the North Morro Bay question, what they would like to see is North Morro Bay rather than another uptown was another suggestion, and North Town. But consensus came to North Morro Bay with sort of a sub description of beaches, parks, dining, and shops. And that concludes presentation, and be happy to entertain any questions and mm-hmm. any suggestions on the copy.
I'd just like to add one other thing. would like to acknowledge all the hard work that one of your former members, Ed Biagini, put into this. He was doing a lot of the heavy lifting on this, and he even went with us to Caltrans to try to work through some of this 2-year permitting issue. Mm-hmm. So Ed was instrumental in developing this program. And then one of the other things that I forgot to mention is what we were trying to do is to. We developed, you may recall, we did a parking management plan a few months ago. It was recently approved, and one of the recommendations were to make more effective use of the parking lots on the flanks on Front Street and on, excuse me, Tidelands Park, and to try to direct folks over into those areas and then free up some of the congestion in the central areas of the Embarcadero. And then what one of the other recommendations were is to introduce a third trolley route that just goes from the Rock to Tidelands Park with 20 to 25 minute headways. And with that predictability, we thought the visitor would make more effective use of using the trolley, parking there, and then experience the route back and forth. So that's a key part of this, and the directional signage program was intended to supplement the program to get people to use and identify those parking areas on the flanks.
So, Bruce, with that parking, are there going to be any large, like, P's that indicate that this is parking? I mean, is there supplemental parking indication
right.
signs?
Yes, there will be. And with John Sorgensfry's help, we developed those. And those locations will be identified, so you'll see those parking areas with those with that logo. And when people drive by, they'll know, this mm-hmm. is where I can park. This is public parking.
Great. And one of the other questions I had is I know that when the promotions committee originally kind of had started talking about this years ago, one of the concerns was that there are lots and lots of signs out there right now that seem to be mismatched and at different heights and things. Are any of those going to be removed?
Yes, that's phase two of the program. The first thing is to actually get them ordered, then get them installed, and then the second phase will be to get the excessive or, you know,
redundant.
Redundant signage, eliminate that, yeah. Kind of a set no new pole policy so that we combine it and just kind of get it where we have the signage, and that'll make people read it a little bit easier. Yeah.
Great. Well, and so I guess does the committee feel like they have some sort of consensus about the questions about waterfront, downtown, North Morro Bay?
I had one observation, I might say. Is there any signage, or was there a reason why there was no signage placed coming from Los Osos, say, on South Bay Boulevard? I didn't see any signs in that area. people who were coming, say, down Los Osos Valley Road and then coming to Morro Bay from the south, but not using Route 1.
So on South Bay Boulevard, and we could send them through the park or send them straight
right.
on.
Exactly.
Well, that's a good suggestion. We could look into that. That would be an entryway, another entryway sign, which, because you've arrived, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Even at the state park, people come in late in the evening, and they even from the state park, say, downtown, mm-hmm. waterfront.
That's a very good suggestion, so thank you.
I feel like I really prefer waterfront and downtown and North Morro Bay, but I don't know how the committee feels.
I do, too. I'm at the chamber once a week, as you know, at the visitor center, and I must have half a dozen questions each month about what the Embarcadero is, what does it mean, where is it, who is it, what is it. So I think waterfront is a much more generic term to use, at least
to a certain extent. Once you get a little further down, you can't read it, and once it gets so cluttered, the human in us doesn't read any of it sometimes because it just reads it's too much. So we're sensitive to trying to keep it as simple as possible. We may be able to make more effective use of locational signs, like when we announce parks, Del Mar Park or parking. We may be able to have some kind of a logo down there that says restroom. We were thinking, maybe not on the directional signs themselves. Maybe we can supplement that with some locational signs.
One thought might be that, and this maybe would be in phase three, or if the chamber or a group of people got together, you might have, like, you know, when you go into a large shopping mall, you have sort of like a directory where all the businesses are. My light's on.
I'm sorry. But one of the things would be kind of a group, you know, holds a sign, a directional sign where it shows restrooms, businesses, you know, like one sign that would be the center part of town, maybe down on the Embarcadero that could guide people direct with the whole cityscape. You'd have the parks, you know, just kind of a master, yeah. big, large map sign that would work that way. That might be something to alleviate that. Granted, it would only serve those people that are already in the downtown, but it would give them direction on where other parts of the city could be. Mm-hmm. And that's something we could also, you know, put on the website, too.
Yeah, and Rob just mentioned we may be able to put it on the trolley map, too. So that's the base map is the same one that you have on the website, the chamber website. So we may be able to put those places on the trolley map too.
Do we currently at the visitor center? Do you have like a sort of a master map that shows where all the parks and restrooms and all those things are? Do we have anything like that?
I haven't seen one.
I guess the closest thing would be the destination guide, which we're kind of phasing out. That might be
it shows the parks, but not the restrooms.
There's a company that puts out a map that goes to all of the hotels. That's a directional map, and it's got the whole city. It's got the parks and restaurants. I think I have one at the office. I don't know if the chamber is involved with that company or not.
No, we are not.
Okay. So we don't pay into it. They just bring them to us.
Right.
They're new. I don't know if they're going to last in here. It probably came up within the last 6 months to a year.
That might be something to think about as we look for next year budgeting. We might want to budget for that piece of collateral to have sort of a kind of a nice informative map that we could put that PDF on the website so people could just download it and print it, or they could, you know, for people who don't have computer access or don't have their computer with them when they come, could get a map. Because I think that's really like the first thing people want when they come
it
to
is.
A new town is a map. You know, to show them where everything is.
I was thinking maybe, Michelle, if I can get a copy of that, at least we can get some kind of pricing. And
there's also the welcome map. They could add that to the welcome map.
That's right. It would
because
be
those are another ones that have been consistent and been here for several years.
Yeah, we can look into that and get some costs involved.
I think that mm-hmm. putting it on the website would be great because mm-hmm. I think more and more people now they're looking for a map that they can print out or download and take with them.
Well, and I think that what I'm excited about is the continuity that we can get, like we've done with the parking sign. I mean, if the city can use it and it's something that the chamber can use and the promotions committee can use on the website, I mean, all that continuity is so important to the visitor. So what about downtown versus Old Town? Is there some consensus about that?
I'd vote downtown. I think Old Town sounds old.
I agree. And it's really not that old.
Every city has a downtown. I don't know that every city has an old town. And I do agree that when you say old town, well, where's new town?
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes an old town takes a characteristic of architecture. You look at it, and it's built old, and, of course, we don't have that either.
Right.
So I think that downtown would be the way to
good.
Go.
And are we good with North Morro Bay?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what it is.
I think that, yep, yeah. I agree.
Great.
Heather, one quick comment. Rob and Bruce, I know your Morro Bay Boulevard at Harbor sign has a lot of information on it. You might consider adding the community center on that list, only because the community center hosts a number of activities right. that people come into town for. And perhaps if there was a way to add that on,
that's a very good
probably
idea.
Tight for space.
I had a question for Bruce. Bruce, where are we at with the parking map? I know that we've gone through a series of changes. Is that still...
Janine is using the base map for the trolley routes, and she actually presented the new trolley route. Actually, there's three new trolley routes, and I'll need to check with her to see where that is, and I can give you a call. And I think Janine made some fine-tuning to that.
And I know we started with sort of just a parking map,
right.
And it got into being a trolley map, and it got... pretty complicated. Not to say we can't put all those things in, but again, just to honor Ed, I know that was a project he really wanted to see come to fruition was that parking map. So mm-hmm. be glad to work with you on that and make sure we get that done. To at least we get it on the website too.
Yeah.
Event that the Harbor Festival is working on.
My apologies for running late. I'm the carpool driver for the high school kids that my son hangs out with, and herding high school kids is like herding cats, and this was one of those mornings. Just a little background. We all know that Morro Bay is off the beaten track a little bit. We aren't right on a feeder route, and that's why events are so important. Events make Morro Bay a destination rather than just a side trip for people who are headed up to Hearst Castle or on up to Big Sur. When I heard back in November that we were losing a couple of events, we had lost the Fireman's Muster for this year and also Jazz Festival, I thought, well, the Harbor Festival has a lot going for it right now. We have a lot of momentum. We have some extra time and staff. And I thought, you know, maybe we can come up with an event that would sort of replace the Jazz Festival. And what we came up with was a music festival. Plan to hold it in June, first Saturday in June, be June 7th. And I brought you some information. We've gone from thinking about this event to actually having a plan and a lineup of entertainers. And the event's going to be held down there across from Rose's Landing in the parking lot where Pete held that great wine and margarita avocado festival, excuse me. And it will be a paid admission event. It's going to run, we have pre-sale tickets available right now, and they're $10 a piece. We have a great deal. If you buy a pre-sale ticket at $15, we're going to throw in your lunch. We have the Kiwanis Club from Los Osos coming over, and they're going to run a barbecue for us. And it'll be $15 at the gate. We anticipate we're going to limit the amount of tickets we sell so that it doesn't get crowded in there. We saw with the Avocado Margarita Festival that, you know, that area fills up in a hurry. And we wanted this to be a pleasant experience for everybody involved. So we're only going to sell about 1,200 tickets or so. And I highly encourage people who want to come to pre-sale. We've already got some great entertainment lined up. We're going to open up with the Questa Ridge Mountain Boys. We're going to follow them with Blue Latitude. They're out of Colorado, and they're an up-and-coming band. Play blues and jazz. Questa Ridge Mountain Boys, of course, is more of a country kind of flavor. We've got Grammy Award winner Louis Ortega coming to play the concert at 2 o'clock. We also have the reggae sensation Resonation. They'll be there at 3:30. And we're going to close with one of the best cover bands in the county, Unfinished Business. So for $10, you're going to get basically 8 hours worth of music. We're going to have the great barbecue. We're hoping to have some seafood on that barbecue. Talk to Jeremiah Bryan, and He says if we're lucky and the government doesn't shut us off and the fish don't fly away, we should have salmon and albacore at that time of year. And we all know that those barbecue up great. We do have a website. Our website for this event is www.mbmusicfest.com. You can download our ticket order form off of there. And we will also have wine and beer at this event for those who are interested in those sorts of things. Your lunch does include a tri-tip lunch with a beverage. And that's pretty much all I have to say about this event. I know a lot of locals kind of groan when they hear there's another event coming to town. We're going to have parking impacted once again. But these events are very important to our community, not only because they bring people to town, but the advertising exposure they're able to generate. You know, Heather with Simply Clear Marketing, they were able to pull together almost $94,000 extra dollars in advertising for, you know, our event, but it also benefits the entire city of Morro Bay. It's very effective advertising. We see going into the Harbor Festival up to 70,000 hits a week on our website. That's a pretty fair amount. It doesn't compare with maybe the chambers, but you know, every one of these events that goes on helps feed into our town, and it keeps our exposure up at very little cost. You know, the advertising for Harbor Festival basically cost us just, you know, some donated motel rooms and donated meals and donated tickets. There was pretty much no cash outlay, and the benefit was, as I said, about $94,000 in advertising exposure, with $24,000 worth over in the valley.
And what David had mentioned about being a destination is truly something that we are happy to say is reality, because some of the events that we have with the car show, with the avocado, with the music festivals, all of the things that we have done, truly it makes a difference with the hotel stays, with the restaurants being full, and the retail businesses. So, you know, everyone collectively has done such a great job. This year is going to be nothing less than spectacular as far as the activities that are coming up. The tall ships, you know, maybe before I get into all of that, let me go through the report real quick. A lot of the stuff, as you can see, is pretty self-explanatory about what's going on with the visitor center and the numbers that that you can see on your report, activity report. The phone calls from January of last year to January 08 of this year has dropped considerably. A lot of these things are distorted in a sense that we have increased amount of activity in our website. So I'm sure that has some kind of indication that people are actually looking at the activities. It's not that we have less visitors coming in or making phone calls, because that is truly not what's happening here. Total visitors, really wasn't a whole lot of change in that respect. We have so many visitors coming in. I'd like to thank John and the promotions committee for having the advertisements for the tall ships. It really made a huge difference. What we tried to do as a chamber in this particular, because there are two ships coming in, before, if you remember, the tall ships were tied together, and so you'd have to climb over one to get to the other, and that was in the Marina Square or the subsea tour location. So what we tried to do, Rick Algert and myself, we've been planning this for about 6 months. We were trying to split them up, one in the south part where they're located now, and the other one in the north T-Pier section. Although when the captain looked at the north T-Pier, he was the angle of the ship, something about the angle of the ship coming in, and it was a stationary
not a floating dock, made it a little more difficult, although we've kind of taken that in consideration, and maybe there might be some way of making that happen, because I do like the idea of splitting them up, advertising that, and when the crowds come down, they come down different locations. And what had really happened in this respect, that we were able to split them up of sorts. They actually went from that original location by the Marina Square to in front of the Otter Rock and the Anderson Inn, right in that area there. And it did actually what we wanted it to do. It actually split them up. Mm-hmm. And in that one shopping center, most of the people were coming down the harbor and the other one were coming down Pacific. So we essentially had, once the word got out, two different directions, and it did pull the people over into that north side. So it actually, when I was talking to the businesses, we did a little survey about that, it actually created some kind of congestion there. I know that doesn't sound like a positive thing, but in reality it is, because there was so many people there that it gave the opportunity that some of the businesses that they may not have even seen before are being recognized. And not only that, but they realized that we have a visitor center here, and the increase on Saturday was phenomenal. If it wasn't for some of the staff coming in to our Saturday staff member, Jan, she would have been totally overwhelmed with the number of phone calls. I think we had over 125 or 130 visitors, and in the winter, that's phenomenal for a Saturday. So she was able to get a lot of information out. It would truly was a very successful event, and again, it all has to do with promotions and marketing, and you folks have done a great job, and John certainly have done a great job with the advertising and placements.
You know, I had some guests in town this weekend, and we were able to go down, and I thought the placement was so perfect, because we went to the one in front of the Otter Rock, and then you could see the other at Marina Square, and I was like, well, why not go down and look at that one? And so we walked down the Embarcadero as opposed to driving and just going right to the ship and going right back. I mean, I thought it was perfect, and it was so great to see so many folks down there.
It really did work out, although with any positives that you have negatives, and of course we had some of those as well. But, you know, they were limited. We were able to do a little control with that, and it had to do with congestion. Oh, my gosh, I'm so sorry.
Too many people.
Yeah, but that is just the way it is. I mean, success comes in a lot of ways.
Could I just add something relative
Absolutely.
To the tall ships? One of the things, and I'm glad to hear that you're getting some attention to it, because part of it's the PR.
But we really had an idea. Maybe we can talk a tall ship into coming in and making this a residence. I know that we're talking to Craig at Lynx. And if we can do that, I think it'd be spectacular. I know there's some costs involved. But there's always ways to pull the costs away somehow and divert them if we put our heads together for that. So I'm looking forward to meeting with Craig, and I've already been in contact with him about that whole idea. So keep your fingers crossed with that, because I think it'd be a wonderful idea to have them there.
Do you think that could tie in with the maritime people?
Oh, I think it's a perfect fit, and why not? If we can't, there's so many things. We have so many environmental assets. We have so many things that we should be marketing. Let me regress a little bit. I went to a conference in San Diego, and it was huge. To give you the magnitude of what this conference represented, there were 13 states. We're talking about a chamber executive conference. Higher-level conference. We had 13 states represented, over 550 executives from all of these locations representing millions of businesses. So when you're looking at this pool, it was nonstop from the time I got there to the time I left with networking with these executives. And the prime question was, here's a problem that we have, and let's see what kind of response. Well, in reality, we're not really unique at all in that situation, because a lot of these places have experienced this already. And some of the ideas I'm going to explore, which I've already done, but some of them, I'll just throw one out here. I think this is fantastic. It was Bellevue, Colorado. 7 years ago, they had a similar problem. They have a great deal of assets, but
nothing there other than the assets, and I'm not diminishing those, but they couldn't bring in people. So what did they do? They rebranded themselves, made them extremely unique. So what did they do? They created a think tank. They created a location where they brought in people to come up with ideas to solve some problems. Okay, what it manifested into, though, was a group of people. They invited large corporations, now it's the Fortune 500 companies, coming in, presenting problems that they need to have resolved. They go into this think tank, and they come out with solutions. It is now rated in the top three in the country for places to do business. There's no reasons why we can't look into this and see if it's even possible. One of the criteria for this was the fact that you have to have a university nearby. Well, guess what? We have a great university nearby, and there's no reason why we can't feed from that and make this something very special. It's just something to explore, which we're doing right now. There's a number of things, and I won't take up the time to do that, but I'm very, very excited about what has come out of these things. And, oh, my goodness, there's things that, I can't get into. I get excited. I'm sorry about it. But it's just something I'll share later on. All right, going on, if you can see the fulfillments, a lot of the stuff is kind of quiet right now because it's quiet right now. Referrals for January, you can see a total referrals of 615. You know, one of the staff came to me and said, well, we actually have more referrals coming over the Internet than we have with phone calls and people walking in. Well, when we started looking at it yesterday, we send out referrals all the time about hotels and restaurants and inquiries like that. They're not even included here. So we're going to have another column next month that will show email referrals.
Great.
And we'll break that down. And I'm amazed how many that we actually have when we started making the physical count. Anyway, that's something new that we're going to add to this. The telephone, the 800 numbers, as we talked about and discussed last month, we took out the experimental, I don't know what you call it, maybe not experimental, but they were the ways of determining what kind of response we were getting from an ad, and they were two additional 800 numbers. We've kind of pulled those away until we actually do the ads and then maybe add those, bless you, to the list. This is our normal 800 number, and you can see the numbers there. I don't know, there needs to be a lot of explanation about that, but that's what that is. Let me go into one other item. As you know, we had the LA Times travel show down in Long Beach. Huge success. Here, I'm just going to throw out some of our smaller brochures. Excuse me, like this. This is our calendar of events. But this has the summary of everything. A little more costly to produce, but it really did bring in a lot of folks in here. One piece took care of just about everything without bringing in, you know, all of the other thousands. And of course, we brought this, gave every single one away. About 2,000 were handed out. And then this was this is the Central Coast visitor guide. Just came out 3 days prior to the trip, so it worked out really well. I have to tell you, though, one of the items, and we did pull out about 500 of these, was this map right here. Mm-hmm. Whenever people say, well, where is Morro Bay? Well, guess what? It's so easy. You point right over here where Morro Bay is, and people know instantly where we're located. It was a great, great advantage to use this, and we were able to get from this company the pullouts. So we had a stack of 500 pullouts of just the maps, and they were the first thing that went.
Who produced that, Peter? That Central Coast?
Was it CCTC?
No, my goodness, I just went to a meeting, and I'm sorry about that. I will get you
Can I see it?
Oh, no, it was Stryker Media.
That's Central Coast, CCTC.
Yes.
What is that?
Central Coast Tourism.
Yeah, we're actually a member of that and that organization through the chamber, and it really has come a long ways. Great representation on the board, and I'm attending all the meetings now, and I'm learning a great deal about how they're marketing. Doing a great job. Great magazine, too.
Is that the first time they've produced that?
No, actually, they've been doing this for a long time.
Okay.
This is the new look of the the magazine, and it really, when you look at it, now we're a member of the organization CCTC, but our logo, our name, is in there like five times.
Great.
Throughout. You know, and it's done really well. They take good care of us.
We used to run ads in there, but when we had our budget cut, we eliminated that. We went with the county instead, so
right.
It's something to consider. It's kind of had a kind of a rebirth, too. I think a lot more activity now. It's getting a little bit more together.
Yeah, and they really want to promote us, so it helps when they have enthusiasm like that. Also, the TV monitor that we talked about, we did purchase it. We spent a little bit more over what we talked about, but we don't expect you to put in any more. But we wanted it a little bit larger, so what we did is we got into the 20-inch category, and that extra inch or 2 inches, whatever it was going to be, made a big difference. It was strategically placed on our table, and it did bring people in. We had actually John physically came down and gave us the loop, and he gave us some extras which flew off our table after they saw the loop that was on that monitor. Huge asset. One of the things we need to probably think about in the future is our display. In our display, we had two ladies go down, Rochelle and Sharon, very enthusiastic. If you ever met these two ladies, they could probably light up Morro Bay energy-wise. And I showed them once how to put it up, and they just put it up without any difficulties. But it does, when you look at the other, and I had them go through and take some photos of the other booths just to see what other people are doing and other organizations. We may want to look at it, although I don't know if we want to change the graphics on it, because the graphics are great. It's just how it's displayed. We may want to look at it simply more updated, more technical, less complex about putting it together. But it really summarizes what Morro Bay is. So I don't know if I'd change that so much, but just how we do that. There is a rip in the display itself, and I think it was only $175. I don't know why we didn't do it, but it's something that we should probably consider. Also, the other thing is I would like to add one more travel show to our list. I've been soliciting different organizations. There's some things coming up. I think it may be a little soon for us to do that. I'm trying to look at our budget that we have and see if we can squeeze that in somehow. Even if we have to supplement as a chamber, I think it's from the numbers that we've displayed here, there's an interest for Morro Bay, and I think we need to get it out if we get it out in a different way. I know San Francisco comes up with one, and there's one in Seattle. I got an invite to Washington, D.C., actually cheaper than the ones that were in California, and it would even offset the travel costs. So, I mean, that's something that we're all looking at, because they're creating a California section, and there's very few representatives. Mardi Gras theme. We will have hurricanes drinks there. We will have, of course, the beer, wine, that type of thing. Great food, Cajun food by Main Street Deli. We'll provide an authentic Cajun recipes. I think this should be a lot of fun. It's $100. Two people for dinner. $5,000 is a grand prize. $1,600 in other prizes throughout the evening. Very exciting events that we have, photo opportunities, that type of thing. Anyway, they're on sale at different locations. We have a poster that says sold here, tickets, and then we have a normal poster. So take a look at where they're located. Buy a ticket. It's only $100. You have a great chance. As Joyce mentioned, we are in the middle of the Kite Festival.
There's so many things. Let me just explain one thing about this kite festival. It has changed and it's manifested into something else. That something else is this. Last year we did a kites in the classroom a week before they actually went in, and we provided kites about for 350 people at Del Mar, and we went through building of a kite, and then we did a seminar on Friday for 350 kids, and it was the history of kites, and the kids went out with these kites that they made a week before, and 350 kites were sitting in the air, and we were flying in the air. It was really tremendous. Okay, so what has happened is this year there are four schools involved, Cayucas, Los Osos, Morro Bay. You know there's two in Los Osos. We're talking 1,400 kids and seminars for four locations simultaneously, and the building of the kites of 1,400, which we are providing a... supplement far as cash and far as the PTA is going to be involved. They're going to actually purchase some of these kites. But we're going to provide, now remember, 1,400 kids are going to be flying kites that day, but also the 1,400 have parents, grandparents, who are going to go to the kite festival, and those same 1,400 kids are going to be flying their kites at the kite festival. I think it's phenomenal.
That's great.
And of course, there's our Morro Bay Parade is connected with that. We had... Gosh, there's so many things. I'm sorry about taking up, but this is exciting stuff. We had an organization, a social club for Porsches, 40 of them, were trying to get a place in Paso Robles, but they wouldn't accommodate them. Oh, well, they called us, talked to Sharon, and guess what? We have 40 rooms reserved. We have four restaurants with these 40, talking about 80, people that looking for a place to stay, looking for a place to eat, a parking area just to meet. It's not a car show. It's a social club. Mm-hmm. And they said, and we told them, well, this is a pretty big weekend. This is a kite festival weekend. They said, well, can we participate? Heck yeah. So we have 40 Porsches going to be running in our parade.
Cool.
So it's very exciting how something little like that developed into something pretty big. The Cellini people are going to be part of our parade again this year in a larger scale this time. It is just very exciting. I'm telling you, I'm trying to contain myself, but I'm sorry, just not happening. We have a community market, as you know. Again, we've expanded this thing. Oh, my goodness. If you haven't been down there, you have to go down and check this out. It is just amazing. Some of the products, very unique. We are developing our own niche. We are branding ourselves totally different than any other market. I don't know where it's going, but it's going in a good place. We have purchased a PA system. We're going to have music pipe through. We're going to have gymnasts come through, karate demonstrations. When it comes flu season, we'll have shots. I mean, we're just creating all, well, shots, different shots. Let's see. Not the other shots. So,
yeah.
I got to stop. There's other things here. One other thing. See, here's another thing. This is a shop local. I don't know if you can see this. The shop local, we're going to create tote bags for grocery stores. I know it's coming that way. So that's kind of the rough draft of it. We found a company that will use they use recycling material for the tote bag. Very, very inexpensive. We put our logo on here, Shop Morro Bay, and we'll start handing those out fairly soon with some other paraphernalia with the Shop Local logo. So, wow. I think that's it.
Great. Thanks so much, Peter.
Thank you. I'm sorry about taking up the time.
Oh, no. We've got a lot of exciting things going on in Morro Bay. Okay, turning to our budget report. Now, I should have brought last month's report, because don't we usually have the TOT from last year and this year in our packet? So we're missing a page, so we don't have that to compare what went on last year. But the numbers seem like they're good. December, I'm not sure how that compares normally. I mean, that it's obviously down significantly from October and November, but I think that December's probably just a month where a lot of people are, dealing with holiday things. Michelle, this is definitely a part of the report that we could use your expertise in, because you're the one in the hotel
yes.
industry.
I will tell you that things have not been looking good for January and February at our three hotels. Things have been down, so we should expect that in our budget. You know, obviously we don't have January's numbers here, but I have my January numbers, and, you know, we're maintaining. I don't know how everybody else is doing in town. February, we are all three properties down so mm-hmm. far as to date. I haven't got the 21st. We do everything in seven-day increments. I'd be curious, you know, not with the information in front of me, last year's. I know last year we were actually...
The reason we started instituted this a few years ago was that just by the nature of when I receive the bills from the media and by the time we get the tear sheets from the media, that by the time the city is invoiced, we're always about two and a half months behind. And it's not because anybody's not expediting it. It's just the nature of how the accounting goes. By the time we get our invoice, we're looking at like the middle of the next month by the time then the city gets it and then their time to, you know, to pay the bill. So what we did is we instituted this because what I work off of is just what's been placed. So this is a more accurate picture of where we're at time-wise. At the end, it all balances, but we don't know that till after the fact a lot of times. Mm-hmm. So, you know, basically we're pretty much on target. I mean, we've expended just about half of our budget. We tend to not do much in January just because of the weather factor, and we're sort of chasing something we can't catch. But as we get into the springtime, that's when the bulk of this remaining money will be spent, predominantly March and April. So we try to build for that spring season and then give ourselves a nice shot in the arm going into summer.
Mm-hmm. Great. Does anybody have any questions about the budget? I mean, we haven't had a whole lot of activity lately, so there's not too terribly many questions, at least from me. So, okay, moving on to our report from John Sorgenfrei. And also for you new members, John Sorgenfrei is from TJA Advertising, and he is the advertising agency for the city. So he's the one that has the pleasure of working with us and coming up with all of our concepts and working on our website, placing all of our media buys, working on all of our public relations, and just coming up with concepts for us. So,
thank you.
John.
Congratulations to the new members. Look forward to working with you guys. What I'll do is first I'll give you kind of a website report. If I could have these up on the...
You know, John, too, I was going to ask you if the committee is okay with it. I wouldn't mind moving up the traveler's coupon guide up into
sure,
your report so
fine.
That it doesn't have to wait all day
yeah,
for
no,
us.
Yeah, that's fine. Sure, certainly.
Good morning.
Good morning.
If you don't know me, I'm Greg with the Travel Coupon Guide. And what we did last year, we put the front cover of the Morro Bay, where John provided the artwork with that. I'm going to hand some of these out to the people that maybe haven't seen it.
These are from last year, so they might be a little tattered.
You might want to give one to her, then she can put it on the overhead.
And basically what we did on the front cover, of course, a picture, and then the website and the 800 number. And I'm not really sure if we tracked the 800 number, how many calls that were received or not, if we've seen any increase in volume or not. We can keep the same 800 number, which I think was given to the chamber, took the calls. Or either we can provide the 800 number and we can track it, or we can just keep it the same way, and then the same with the website. So we really don't know, you know, the traffic that was involved. Currently, right now, in the Southwest, and this issue covers California, Nevada, Arizona, and also distributed parts of Oregon and New Mexico. So you have quite a big footprint. We have 1,500 distribution points, and an average over a year, about 300,000 copies are distributed each month in this area, the California, mostly rest areas, restaurants, rental agencies, chamber of commerces, and places like that. So it's very widespread for people, you know, making overnight trips. Europeans use these a lot to plan their vacations. It's mostly directed to motels and hotels. And if we do real well for a property, a lot of times they won't tell me how well they're doing. But I did get calls from three properties over the last month or so asking me if we're going to be doing the Morro Bay promotion. So that tells me they did, you know, they did well last year during that time. And last year we did it for April issue and the May issue. The April issue hits the streets about mid-April, and then May would be May, middle of April, and then what we do is we recycle them. So sometimes you'll get exposure to the end of June or beginning of July with the April and May editions. So basically everything's the same as last year. We can use the same artwork as we did last year, or John, you can provide, you know, different artwork if you'd like to. The price is the same, no increase there.
What was that price again?
The price?
Yeah.
Was for the 2 months was $3,000.
$3,000, okay. Yeah. And one of the biggest questions it seemed the group had was exactly how many are distributed per month?
So per average, it's $300,000 per month.
Oh, per month. I thought you meant $300,000 per year.
Right, right.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, per month. $300,000.
Okay.
We print, in a year's time, of the travel coupon guy, $5 million.
Okay.
Okay, and of course, winter, like in San Luis Obispo, I know Oxnard has one, Ventura has one.
Pismo Beach,
yes.
What do you think, John?
Well, first of all, I spoke with John Sulu, who I think everybody's familiar with, as a hotelier. He said that he thought it was a good thing to do, that he saw success from it the last time we did it.
Right.
Frankly, I wouldn't recommend it if we didn't have the cover. I think having the cover makes it a viable entity. Just that billboard effect of people going into a Jack in the Box or wherever they go, the fact that we're on the cover, I think, is significant. One of the things that I'm sure that you find is if we have the cover, that certainly helps your sales job to go out and get more participation, which again helps the city because we get more hotels running their own ads.
Right.
So in the sense, it's sort of like a co-op. I mean, we're putting it together, and then Greg goes out and tries to get more advertisers. I know Ed felt strongly about it, felt that it was successful for him. Be interested to know if you've ever used it.
How does Michelle? Yeah, that's what I was going to ask her.
We have not used it, and the reason being, if you look in there, you see a lot of $30. You're competing with very low end.
Right.
It's nice to see, you know, Ed always kept his rates up there and was nice. That's why I hope they continue to do that. That's the one negative I don't like. I agree. I think if we're on the cover, it's worth it. Mm-hmm. I think if you're not on the cover,
just for the exposure alone, just for being on the cover.
Everybody, I will say, that comes into our hotel with one of these, they are your bare baller dollars. They're really pinching their pennies. They're not ones that spend a lot of money. And that's a little stereotypical, but that is what I tend to see. So that is one thing that I would bring up.
Actually, we find of the distribution, the actual redemptions are only like 5 or 10%. So a lot of people are picking them up. They're just not using them, we find, too.
Yeah.
So if you walk into an IHOP or a Denny's, you'll see people reading them. And you know they're not, you're going for the 30 rooms, just by, you know, the car they drive or whatever. But, you know, so you do get maximum exposure.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing.
Mm-hmm. And we have the funds to be able to do it. We have a contingency budget that we would have enough money to do it. I would recommend doing it.
Mm-hmm.
I think that, again, I just have to go back to hearing from the people who experience the success.
Right.
I think the 800 number, it's certainly something we could do. But as Peter said, you know, repeatedly, we get, as the years go on, and it's true for all of my tourism clients, 800 numbers go down, website hits go up.
Right.
So
right.
As long as our website hits keep going up, we're okay, I think. But in this particular instance, I'm sure the same is true. I think people will probably, you know, we had the website really predominant on the cover. We had another ad. I guess this should be explained, too, that inside that we actually had another Morro Bay ad inside
the book, on top of the page.
Next to the coupons, which, again, further supports the hotel. So the hotel can get by just running a simple offer ad, and we talk about the destination. Mm-hmm. So in that sense, I think it's a nice co-op opportunity. And since he's willing to go out and sell the rest of the co-op, I'm happy with that.
Do we need a motion to
we do.
Well, if everyone's in agreement, I would like to make a motion that we allocate the funds to place the ads in the travel guide for, is it April and May?
April, May, yes.
April, May.
Yeah, and if we're going to use the same artwork,
I think we'll probably revamp it a little bit.
Okay.
But that'll be up to the committee, too. But I think the cover, we can talk about how we want to change that.
Let you know the deadline would be March 5th for the April edition. So
okay.
Just let me know. I'll email you all the paperwork and everything like we did last time.
Okay.
John, one thing to change on the text on our little ad is Old Town should probably be changed to Downtown to be
right.
consistent with the signage.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Same with the Embarcadero.
Okay.
Yeah, Waterfront.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Do we have a second for the motion?
I second.
Is there any more discussion? I would really like to see the artwork revamped. So.
Okay.
All those. Yeah, on the front.
Yeah, we might want to make the web page a little bigger too.
Okay.
That's what we're going to rely on instead mm-hmm. of the phone number.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What I can do is, and we've done this before, where. I can revise it, then I'll email everyone.
Perfect.
And if I could get our new members' emails, that would be great, too. Then I can get you guys on the list. So we can make those changes. And then rather than doing it right now on the spot, if anybody sees anything that they would recommend changing copy-wise or graphically, then you can email me, and then I'll incorporate that into our update.
Perfect.
And I'll email you the specs, too, John, that you know, for
okay.
the copy.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
Terrific.
Well,
all right.
Thank you.
Thanks
appreciate
so much, Greg.
Your time.
Appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
Greg Hummer.
Uh-huh. Okay. So we'll just move on to the rest of John's report.
Okay. We'll go ahead and talk about the website. And, again, this is just for the benefit of the new members. Peter was giving us a report, but with the software that we have on the website and the fact that we manage a big part of the website, we've started taking that over because that's part of our software package that we have with our service provider. If you could put this graph up first, Nancy. This one. In that database right now, so it's growing to a level where it's a really inexpensive way to communicate. And I actually have a newsletter that I'll be showing you in a moment that relates to that. And that was in part, I think, with the success of the Tall Ships, because we used the Tall Ships as the theme for the February newsletter and got that out before the event. One good thing is that we have people who are on our website for a very good length of time, 11 minutes, close almost 12 minutes that they spend on the website, which is a pretty good average. And then, Nancy, if you'll go to this next one, the one I think you had up before, this one. And this has remained the same pretty much the whole time. And what we find here is that the significant reporting here is that we have over 53% of the hits that come to the website are what they call no referral, which means that they're actually typing in moralbay.org, which is significant in that it relates back to our advertising and our PR efforts. And, of course, there's some that have gotten used to knowing that that's the website identifier. But the fact that over more than half of the people come to us by typing in that response is good. The next one is Google, as people go in. Then you can see that accommodations is 15,000. Plan a trip is 8,000. Lodging and dining is close to 4,000. And activities, 27,000, our city, 22, and so calendar of events is 21. So the main one is accommodations, which, again, is good because those are people that obviously looking for to spend their dollars here and increases our TOT. And it's interesting because accommodations, plan a trip was significantly higher at one point, and accommodations now is higher. So they kind of go back and forth, but both of those are obviously good ones. And that's it for the website, unless anybody has any questions. I will, related to the website, let me show you the as I mentioned, we did a newsletter that goes out to our database. And what we did is we also combined this with a couple times a year, we actually buy the email list for the LA Times. And how this works is that we target upper scale adults, empty nesters, hopefully, that can travel midweek. We looked at predominantly LA and Orange County. We bought 45,000 email names. And on average, 45 of those go out. There's about 12,000 of them that actually get opened.
And then there's about 2,000 that actually come to our website. So it's pretty significant. And that spike all occurs in the course of a couple of days' time. But what we did is we tried to highlight the whole tall ships. As you can see, this is the general theme of it. And if you look on the second page, that's actually one page. And then it goes down. We talk about the Hawaiian chieftain as well. And what we're trying to do is to make sure that these go out on at least a quarterly basis, and we want to try to have it where it's informative. Again, we have very few people that ever want out of the list. And when you look at the 5,000, the 5,000 is a very strong, positive list for us, because these are people who actually have said, please send me information. And, of course, we always have it, this email. You can, at the very bottom, you can click on the moralbay.org site and come right to the website. So, and that's pretty much it for the newsletter. Any questions on that?
When did that newsletter go out?
That went out about a week before the tall ships. So that would have been probably around the 5th, I believe.
I've had the biggest February. My numbers are as good as they are in summer.
Great.
So
well,
something's working. That's interesting.
Good, good. Well, as Peter mentioned, you know, and I actually, the gentleman that spoke earlier, you know, and we talked a little bit about this prior to our meeting, and this is kind of is my next segue. Events are very labor intensive. They are sometimes greeted by, you know, some of the locals as kind of an inconvenience. But, and I really, and I mean this sincerely, Peter, you and your group have done an incredible amount to get the enthusiasm and make these events work. It's really easy to sit around a table and come up with a lot of great events, but having them come to pass successfully is the key. And Heather knows this because she's in that business. But I think events have really done a lot to get us back on track in Morro Bay. And what we tried to do, there was a time when people were thinking, well, there's just nothing going on in Morro Bay. Well, there's a lot going on in Morro Bay now. And when people come to these events, it's not a one-shot deal. I mean, they're refers, but it's difficult for me to kind of assemble this group. So I think what we need to do, and maybe Peter, if he's willing, and I know his plate is not only full but overflowing, but maybe he could help us get started. I think we just need to organize this. Maybe what we need to do is pick a date a year from now or 8 months from now and work backwards. I've always found that once you have a date for something, then it makes it happen. Because right now
we just need a little pressure, John. That's all. So let's put the date down, and
right.
Then we figure out how to get to it.
And, you know, we can start small. But my vision of this would be, you know, a 4-day event, which would fill the hotels up. This is a very high level, for the most part, high demographic, for people who are fairly affluent. They have the money for their equipment. And I think if we could do this, and not only would you get just the event, but then you get publicity out of that as well. So then we become, it becomes newsworthy that Morro Bay is actually doing this. So maybe you and I can talk, and if there's anybody out there watching that's a photographer that would like to participate and be kind of in the, you know, the ground floor of what I think is going to be a great festival at some point in time. You know, we could kind of go from there.
Well, you count us in. We're certainly going to be part of that.
Okay. Well, I'll get with, if that's okay with the committee.
Yeah.
If there's anybody from the committee that would like, and whether mm-hmm. you feel it's appropriate, I don't know if we should have a liaisons from the committee mm-hmm. that maybe could be a part of that, if there's somebody that wants to do that.
Yeah, or, I mean, do we have a volunteer? I mean, is there somebody that would like to serve on that committee and be a liaison to some sort of a photographic event? Anyone? Well, I guess let's just, you know, I mean,
okay.
I think that it's definitely something we need to be in the loop on.
What we should probably do, since David's not here,
is
and
nominate him.
Yeah, normally just appoint him.
Yeah, I think that's a very good idea.
And since he's into photography and it's his profession, I mean, that's normally how I always work it. When the person's not here, we just go ahead and appoint them. But whatever you think. I mean, I think you would actually want to do it. But.
That's right. Don't miss a meeting. I think that it's definitely something that, I mean, and I think, Peter, if you guys can kind of step in there and help John, I mean, I think it's something that we would really, really benefit the community to have.
Yeah, we'll jump in there. Huh, Bill?
You guys don't do enough.
We'll help out some.
And I think too, this is one of those. You know, the other challenge for events is financing it. Mm-hmm. And I actually think that this is one of those types of events that you could actually probably get some corporate dollars for. Mm-hmm. I mean, you could get certainly the local camera. One of our clients is Jim's Campus Camera. I mean, I could see them getting involved in something like this. I can't speak for Denny, but I would think he would. But not only that, but then you get Nikon and you get other camera manufacturers. I think that it would be a possibility to get some real corporate sponsors mm-hmm. to get the thing financed, too.
Mm-hmm. Great. Well, just keep us posted.
Okay.
We just hired Rick Carr, who is a professional photographer. And who has the connections with Canon and all of those.
And isn't he the event coordinator?
He is the event coordinator. Kind of fits, doesn't it?
Yeah, there's our man.
Yeah, he's not doing anything for the next couple of weeks. So, yeah, I think
great.
It's a good
great.
Fit.
Good.
I think it'll be, someday we'll look back on it, and I think it'll be something we'd be proud of. I did want to pass around this. This is a press release that I referred to a few meetings ago, but it's been written, and we're ready to go with this. And we don't need to go through it, you know, line by line, but you're welcome to look at it. If you have any feedback that you want to give me, you can email me with it. But what we're doing is, again, the fact that Morro Bay is, and we're calling it a photographer's paradise. And just in a nutshell, we kind of have an overview of where Morro Bay is and what it is. We have a little bio on Janice because the fact that our mayor is a professional photographer is newsworthy. And then we highlight a couple of other photographers that are in and around Morro Bay. And basically what the hope is to generate some interest from photography magazines. I don't know if I have enough of these, but I'll pass a couple of these around. You guys can see who this. What's coming around now is actually the list of the magazines. And just to give you kind of an overview, we're looking at Amateur Photographer, American Photo, Aperture, British Journal of Photography, Camera Arts, Creative Lens. These are all really focused on the real enthusiast photographer. All national publications, Nature Photographer, National Geographic, of course. So we're shooting kind of big, but we're hoping that it's sort of like fishing. You know, you throw the line out and you see what you catch. But, again, I think that we have a real viable entity here, and I think that the only thing that's a challenge about this is that all of them have really different submission policies. So it's almost like we was approved and we put it on the site and then we have to work out, and this is something I like direction from the committee on. I'm thinking that we should have a contest, but I think a monthly contest is too labor intensive. I would suggest a quarterly mm-hmm. contest. And I was thinking, Peter, if you're interested, maybe we could have we could rotate the prize and actually have a member of the chamber, say if it's a restaurant or a hotel, if they want to donate the prize, then obviously they should get some coverage. So we could actually have them maybe sponsor that photography page for that quarter, or a couple of different people, say if we had a hotel and maybe a restaurant. And because I think it's only fair if they're going to give up, you know, a free room and they're going to give up a free dinner, that they would get, you know, mm-hmm. some promotion for it. And we could rotate the prize then. And we've had a few submittals, and we're getting more and more. And I think we will now that the kinks are sort of out of the site. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I've done as it relates to my company, I have rehired somebody that used to work for me. I hired her right out of Cal Poly and trained her, and then she promptly went down to L.A. to work for MTV. Well, then she went down to and worked there for a couple of years, found out this is really a great place to live, so she came back. And I'm really going to have her help me with Morro Bay. And in one particular instance, I'm going to have her help me more on the website. So I have been working with Jeremy and having my people trained to be able to go into the website more and do these kinds of things. So mm-hmm. we're going to take over this whole photo contest. Nothing against them, but this way then it'll be controlled locally at my agency as opposed to another vendor.
Well, you know, John, one of the things my company is doing, because we also work with NIT, is we're going to be launching a before and after photo contest on our website, and we are going to have it so that the viewers can actually, or the visitors can go on and vote for which picture
right.
they like best. And so I know that they're working on a whole prototype and stuff for
right.
us, so that might be something we can
yeah, sure,
I mean,
absolutely.
Duplicate the efforts
yeah,
on.
Absolutely.
I just think it's a great idea. And the other, I mean, I think the other progression to that is submitting video too.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure how far down the line we are from that. I know that's a little more complicated.
Well, and actually that was one of the things that I had proposed and we still need to do. And that's going to be one of my next projects is that we have a YouTube contest.
Right.
And what we can do is we'll have it on the website where people can make their own 30-second spot about Morro Bay. And then we don't have any control over that part of it. If they submit it on YouTube, it goes on YouTube. But we have control on who wins.
Can they submit it on our website, too? Or can we do something on our website? Or is it better on YouTube? I mean, traffic is better on YouTube, obviously.
Yeah, I think what we could do is we could ask them to submit it to us. But the reality is just we have to all keep in mind that it's going to go on YouTube. Probably, because if they go to the work, they're probably going to go ahead and put it on. But again, I don't think that's necessarily bad.
No.
I mean, and I don't think anybody is going to, you know, do anything that's too negative to us. I mean, there may be some things on there that we wouldn't give them the prize, but YouTube has become a force that is, you know, it's interesting because it's actually become some free advertising. I mean, if you travel someplace and you look up you go into a search, you're going to find boating excursions on there. You're going to find, you know, hotels, and so that whole other aspect of YouTube is there. But that's something that we want to do, and we want to create this blog that we talked about. So we could actually, and I don't want to make blog is a bad word in the sense that it's not this again would be controlled to be submitted to us first.
Mm-hmm.
We make sure it's okay, and then we put the responses on the website.
It seems like that's so work intensive or labor intensive. Are you concerned about that?
I'm only going to be concerned if it does get that way, and then we don't do it anymore.
Right, or we need to hire somebody or allocate more of the budget to actually monitor it. Yeah.
But I think that this, and we talked about this as we looked at new ideas for what we're doing. It's and it's all called Web to You, and it's all about people wanting to be interactive with each other, talking about a destination. You look at TripAdvisor, you know, and you go on there and all those forums. I mean, people talking about what rental car company do you recommend? And it can actually be pretty devastating, too, for some people if they have a bad experience, which is actually sort of good in a way because it keeps people wanting to make sure they do a good job because the whole world can be exposed to their bad experience now. So, I think that that's another part of it. But we'll see. I mean, you're right. It could get really labor intensive.
Mm-hmm.
But we just have to kind of see how it goes. But I had one other thing related to kind of promotions. And it's I think Morro Bay will benefit, even though it's not a sponsor. Pismo Beach actually spent $50,000 to sponsor a show called The Winemakers. And it's going to be a show that's going to be on PBS. And the Wine Alliance up in Paso Robles committed another, I think, $50,000. I didn't come to Morro Bay with it because I knew that, you know, our budget was pretty tight. But I can give you an overview of what's transpired on the show. They've been shooting in and around San Luis Obispo, the wineries of San Luis Obispo County, as well as the wineries in Paso Robles. And a wine magazine there. There'll be a state of California tourism representative there. It's going to be at Hearst Castle.
Yay!
So, again, even though we're not necessarily a sponsor of it, I think it would have been cost prohibitive because it's a little bit of a risk. I mean, you know, especially with PBS, you have to you can't be guaranteed. Like Pismo can't say, well, I want to be in, you know, at least a half hour of the show. You can't do that. So it's a little risky, but I think for Morro Bay, I think for everybody in the entire Central Coast, for San Luis, it's going to be a great thing. And the show is supposed to air around first part of July. It originally was going to be aired in the spring, but due to all the things that usually go into producing something like this. And I just found out from the producer that it's going to be distributed in the UK and in Australia as well.
How long a show is it, John?
It's, I think it's 6 or 7 episodes.
The hour?
Oh, it's an hour-long show. And then how it'll work is the producer, he sells it to PBS, and then he retains the rights. So what happens, you've seen like on PBS, a lot of times these series repeats itself. Then he gets to repeat it, and I think that he'll edit it down to a half-hour show and stretch it out so there's more sponsorship opportunities. But I just think it's going to be great for the Central Coast because it's really going to talk about this being like the new exciting wine region, both from San Luis Obispo County as well as Paso Robles.
We're now creating a wine tour package, which includes a hotel, restaurant, and introducing our actually four wineries. Remember, we have one winery here, Aaron Hill Vineyards. Is the only Morro Bay winery that has a tasting room here. And then we have Cayucas Cellars, we have Harmony, and we have Moonstone Cellars. They all are pretty unique, and they're all on the coast. And we have the Elegant Image, who is a limousine service here in Morro Bay that is going to be part of this. So for one price, you'll have a wine tour, you'll have a hotel stay, you'll have activities, all kinds of things packaged into one per-person price. We're going to introduce that next month. It might be just a perfect setting, you know, to introduce to us. Maybe we'll get that picked up or something.
Yeah. Well, I think that... And I know we've had these discussions before, and this is probably for another day, but the thing that, again, Morro Bay has going for it is this rich wine region that is just a few miles away. And one thing that we have over Paso Robles, even though they have abundance of wineries, it's also 105 degrees in the summer. So after tasting wine, and especially if we've got the facilities to transport them, knock yourself out, go to Paso Robles, spend the entire day, and come back and cool off on the coast. And I think that's going to be another significant part of our business if we can encourage that. Mm-hmm. Because it just, for me, especially if anybody that's going to be traveling from the valley, I mean, the last thing they want to do is leave 105 degrees, go stay in 105 degrees and have wine. But if they could have the wine and then come here, that would be great.
I wonder how the wineries do in the summer. I was thinking about that this morning, actually, because it's really, really hot over there in the summer. I mean, I'm sure all the tasting rooms are air-conditioned and everything, but I don't know.
They do very well.
They do, despite the heat.
Yeah.
Huh, that's interesting. Great.
All right, and then, of course, the fall, you know, is big because of the harvest and all that.
Right.
But, yeah, I think they do pretty well. I mean, you know.
Hey, it's great. Anything else for us today?
That's it.
Okay, great. Thanks so much. Appreciate that.
Sure.
Okay, moving on to the Public Relations Subcommittee. We did meet and have a nice meeting. Susan, do you want to give that report? Okay, we talked about, let's see here, quite a few different things. John, one of the things I was going to ask you about under your report was the radio station. Did you guys have a chance to get an ad together or a track or anything for that AM station?
No, we're in the middle of doing that right
okay.
now.
Great. I just thought I'd keep it on the radar.
I think what I was going to need is a script, like at least what's already on there, and then I could augment that. So once we get that, then, you know, I could get it recorded in no time.
Okay, great. One of the things we had talked about a little bit was that, as most of you probably are aware, we're going to be getting some sort of a tax relief from the government coming in May. And we were wondering if that wouldn't be a good time to try and maybe supplement some of our advertising or do something. You know, you've got an extra $600 as a couple, why not spend that in Morro Bay? Mm-hmm. Maybe as part of like a shop local campaign.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah, I thought so. We also talked about the slow seas and getting with Allison Chan to get that report. I believe that they're going to have the report finished in April and that they can come in May and speak. So we're going to get that coordinated. We had actually spoken about kind of the web to you with the YouTube, kind of had, you know, wondered what was going on with that. One of the other questions we had talked about was the art can. And I actually, to follow up to our meeting, had spoken with one of my friends down at the NEP, and she had recommended that we might consider contacting the water board and having CMC's fine basically increased, because it could have a huge impact on tourism. And so I don't know how the committee feels about that, and I don't know if that's something we need to agendize to speak about at a later date.
Well, I know Avila did that one time, and the businesses in Avila got together and they wrote a letter and said, you know, you owe us X number of dollars, because it was on a big weekend. And I'm trying to remember how it was resolved, but I do think that they got some mitigation money out of that because basically it harmed them.
Right.
And I think that's the one thing you'd have to show harm.
Right.
And have to illustrate that for
damages.
Evidently,
that was really written up in the Bakersfield and Fresno papers because we had a lot of phone calls at the chamber.
Hmm.
People wanting to know, is it safe to come over there? You know, they vision the bay.
Right.
Full of it.
Sure. Yeah.
So I don't know if we maybe when that happens, maybe we should run a counter ad in Bakersfield.
I tell you, that's tough because usually, yeah. And I go through this with Avila and also with Pismo when there's a shark sighting, and we just don't do anything.
Right.
Because what happens is then that you start this whole discussion about the problem.
Right.
But I think what we should do, though, is not run an ad necessarily, but have either the mayor or somebody appropriate, you know, spokesperson from the city contact those people and do some damage control. Because if there's only one input, you know, they're going to get it, you know, they're going to write how they want to write it. And unfortunately, and this is nothing against the press, but they usually focus on the negative and not the positive. So I think I'm sort of agreeing, but not necessarily an ad necessarily, but have some ability to respond to it.
Well, I guess evidently CMC has just put in a brand new sewer plant, which I didn't realize, and this spill had occurred after that. But I don't know. Is that something we should agendize to talk about, Andrea?
I'm not sure if you know, that's kind of an interesting situation. Basically, they have put in a new treatment plant. They had a problem with a backup generator. The length of the spill was fairly short, but, you know, mm-hmm. it was a spill. You know, before you agendize that, I would say that we would want to come back and let you know, what the city did, how we were notified, that sort of thing. And, you know, we need to remember, you know, what's within your purview and not within
right.
your purview. So we're happy to bring that information for you so you have the information. I'm not sure if it's an agenda item or not, but, you know, I think it's always important for you to have that information. Mm-hmm. So certainly
okay.
willing to do that.
Great. And I guess in this subcommittee meeting, we were just talking about the fact that it does seem like on a fairly regular basis, they kind of say, oh, yeah, so the CMC had a sewer spill and can't go in the water. I don't know. So we just kind of thought it is kind of important to tourism.
I had read somewhere, Heather, where they had already been fined or in the process of being fined for that.
Yeah.
And seriously.
Yeah, I
so
had heard that as well.
Whether we want to do it again or take other action, I don't know what that
yeah.
is.
Yeah. Anyways, just thought we'd bring that up.
Can I get back to the art can? Just,
yeah.
I'm not sure how that's worked, but we had it in our budget to pay $1,500 for the art can. So I don't know if they've been paid. Well, I haven't paid them, but I don't know if the city's paid them. So that would be one thing to look into.
Okay.
I kind of remember Ed saying something that they'd been paid, but I don't know if that's totally true or not.
I think they have, but we can check.
Okay.
I think we've cut a check for that. Yeah.
Thank you. The other question we had was about the roundabout. Do you know if we're going to get an update on that?
Yeah, we can bring that at your next meeting. I know that on the 25th City Council agenda, we have a little bit of an update, and there's some information there. I actually just read the staff report yesterday, and I was thinking about this meeting. So we can bring that back to you at your next meeting. And I don't believe at this time we have a new timeline, but we're getting additional information, so we can bring that. We'll put it on the agenda for the – that would be March meeting.
Yeah. Well, and I guess I feel like as a committee that we're most concerned about the timeline because it really only is going to affect us when it actually happens. It's not going to affect us until it does. So, but anyway, so that was our subcommittee meeting. And then we actually also scheduled a subsequent meeting with John to talk about some ideas. David has some great ideas about, you know, kind of positioning and like his whole it's the fish and all those sorts of things. So we're going to talk about that. So that was our report. Any questions about that? Moving on to the website committee report.
We did not have a meeting because we're short one member.
Okay. And do we need to appoint a member to the bell? Okay. Going down to unfinished business, we had the presentation of the new directional signage and the traveler's coupon guide. The only item we have left to discuss is the letter of support for rail service, and I know that was something that David Weissman had emailed. And didn't you, Bill, have some insight on that?
I did. And Dave, the letters that Dave sent out or emailed to me involved two things. One, that the Coast Starlight, which is the train that runs from Los Angeles to Seattle, has been discontinued until they clean up the tracks up in Oregon due to a big mudslide, but they had completely canceled the train. I checked yesterday, and the train now runs to Sacramento, and then you go by bus from Sacramento on up to Portland. So the train is still running through from Los Angeles to San Luis Obispo. And then the other thing Dave was interested in was train service between San Luis Obispo and San Francisco, and that's something that the State Transportation Board has been discussing for a while. They have some money to spend, but whether, it's going to take the county and a lot of other people to convince the state that we need that transportation link, rail link. There is the Coast Starlight, but it leaves here at 3 o'clock p.m. and doesn't get into San Jose until late at night. So, it's not the most desirable way to get to San Francisco.
Great. Well,
so, to me, if we were going to have a letter, it should be in conjunction with the city and the county and a lot of other people. Mm-hmm. I don't know that we would, our little voice would be heard too
well. Right. I mean, I guess I don't mind supporting something like that if we think that it could increase traffic. But I think that, to me, what we've talked about a lot, which seems like the most important element, is that the train stops in San Luis. It doesn't stop in Morro Bay. I mean, if it stopped in Morro Bay, to me, it would be a no-brainer. But, I really feel like in order to get people, in order to get this campaign and this idea rolling that they could get on the train and come to Morro Bay, we need that bus service between San Luis and Morro Bay. So, and I feel like that's just something that an outside company obviously has to see the need and the desire to, a business opportunity to create. And I don't know that that's there.
I have something to add. Several years ago, they used to do Silverado tours. I don't know if the chamber remembers this. I don't know, Bill, if you were down there. There was Key Holidays up in San Francisco area used to actually do, and they have canceled that. It was with Amtrak, and then they would pick them up in Silverado tours and bring them to Morro Bay. That's been canceled several years ago. It used to bring in a lot of business into Morro Bay, and they did cancel that. And I want to think 3 to 5 years ago. It's been a little while. I don't know exact numbers. But I think it's, like you said, Silverado, it wasn't cost-effective for them with everything going up, gas prices and this and that.
They've changed hands, too.
Okay, maybe that was part of the problem. I just remember we used to get busloads of people in, mm-hmm. and then it just stopped.
Oh, no.
Yeah, and like I said, when it was going through, I mean, it was a huge amount of people that would come through on this because they would bring whole groups, and then they would come into Morro Bay, and then they'd go into San Luis.
It was a whole bus. It wasn't just like a little van.
Yeah, exactly. It was a bus. Huh. Silverado Tours would do it, and this was, like I said, 5-6 years ago.
I think that's, my opinion would be more important to spend the effort to talk to Silverado Tours or somebody like that. And there may be one other significant thing that might, if it's brought to their attention, and of course you'd think that they would be looking at this as a business model, but the fact that we get direct flights now from Salt Lake, it's a whole other opportunity for us because there's going to be people that can come from all over the United States now flying direct, from Salt, connecting in Salt Lake and coming here. Mm-hmm. It's a major hub, so maybe there is an opportunity that, the problem is that the train is one thing, but, the flights and, it's almost like you need a van or something because a whole bus, it's difficult to have that.
A lot of coordination.
So many, yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's such a time frame between when the train arrives
right.
and the plane
right.
from Salt Lake, because I think it's a 10 o'clock p.m. flight, arrival flight, and the train's 3 o'clock, whether you're coming north or south. It would be nice if they both arrived at about the same time, then somebody might have
right.
the ability to fill up a bus.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
So how does the committee feel? Do we feel like we want to write a letter of support to the state, I suppose, or is it to the state or to Amtrak?
It's a state agency.
Okay. Do we want to write a letter to them and say that we are about the railroad? Mm-hmm. And so I think that we should leave that to David. And what we should, I think, tax him with as well is to find out what other city, county, state mm-hmm. agencies are supportive of this. And, yeah, so we'll move forward with that. And do we need a motion for that, Andrea? Okay. No,
we'll put it on the agenda for okay. next time because I would assume that the board would want to approve any sort of
the letter. Right. That sounds good. Okay, great. That's unfinished business. We have no items under new business. We have down here discussion of new ideas, and for the new board members, that was put on here because we felt like we wanted to have a regular spot on our agenda to discuss ideas. If you came up with a new concept or you wanted to present something to the board, I'm sure you are all familiar with the I Love Tourists buttons, and that was David Weissman's idea, and that came from our discussion of new ideas. So at this time, we generally ask if any of the board members have any new ideas that they would like to present.
Since you mentioned the buttons, is David working on a new design? I remember there was some talk about our redesigning that button in a different way and making a new ones for the upcoming tourist season. Is anything being done about that? Or are we?
I believe the discussion was changing it from tourist to visitor.
Something like that. Mm-hmm.
I believe it was.
I don't think we ever decided on it.
We've already decided on it?
I don't think we have.
Oh, we have.
I don't think we decided either.
Why don't we make that an agenda item for next month's meeting? And we can talk about that and see if we want to have some more buttons produced.
He also had an idea about visors, and he had all kinds of...
Oh, that. Yeah. He's got lots of ideas.
So it might not be buttons. Maybe it's just a tourist, something to identify that we like tourism.
A big jacket.
Yeah.
Okay, all right. Does anyone else have any other new ideas?
We had talked at our meeting about the Best of Morro Bay contest,
right.
And I still think that could be a good idea. Being a small town, you could get almost everybody mentioned who has a business or a motel or a restaurant in town because you could have so many subcategories, and, you know, you could have first, second, third, and all the honorable mentions, and so it's sort of, and I don't know quite how you do it, whether you... We talked about getting together with the local newspapers and running it through them, or having little ballots at various places or at the chamber to vote on their favorite whatever, and then you could publish it in a bigger venue.
This might be something the Bay News would be interested in.
Mm-hmm.
I know that the Tribune does this every year and generates a good amount of money in advertising by doing it, mm-hmm. because all the people who get nominated also want to put an ad in the paper. This might be something we could approach the sales staff mm-hmm. of the Tribune and see if they were interested in doing that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or the Bay News.
I think the Bay News would be
the
good.
Bay News would probably.
The Tribune actually did a Reader's Choice Award for several years and then, not even several years, for like 5 years and then canceled it because they have very low participation. The New Times does a much better Best of that they've done for many, many years.
Yeah, I think the Bay News could embrace that as a moneymaker mm-hmm. for them because mm-hmm. you're right. I mean, people, you know, I know that all my clients I get calls from my clients saying, "You won, you're third for you need to run an ad." You know, and it's like, so yeah, it's a moneymaker, and you know, we benefit from that because Modesto B does it and all the Valley papers, and we usually win something.
It's a good
there,
hook so. For advertising for mm-hmm. for the sales staff, but it would be good for the business locally also, and. The Bay News probably would be the best venue for it.
Mm-hmm. Great. Any other ideas? Okay, moving on to declaration of future agenda items. So we've got a couple, or we just discussed the buttons, right? Oh, and yeah, the roundabout.
Yeah, we've got a couple.
Okay.
We've got roundabout, got buttons, we've got writing a letter to the paper. So we've got a few. Anything new, though, beyond those?
I don't
How about the parking map? Where is that going to? Is it too early, too late to talk about that?
Well, what I'll
parking
do
and trolley map. And
what I'll do is I'll make a point to contact Bruce, and just see where get an update. I could bring it back in during my report to the committee on where we're at mm-hmm. with the parking.
We
map.
Had seen one a few meetings back. You had brought one to mm-hmm. us with various symbols on it. I remember we voted on that.
Yeah, as far as I know,
we've not seen it.
We've had it done a couple of times.
Mm-hmm.
and then it went back for further changes. And I think the fear that I have is eventually we're going to have too much so much on there that it's not going to be effective.
Right.
It started as just where can you park, and then it got to be the trolley, and then it got to be various other things, which is fine. But at some point we got to say enough. And
now if the trolley's going to change, they're going to add two or three new stops and a new route.
Right. I'll work with Bruce on it and just see how best we can go next.
When that map is completed.
I think we're close. Pardon me?
When that map is completed, that will be added to the website?
Right.
Both parking
map
and the trolley map.
Right. Mm-hmm. In fact, I think we talked about that we may not even ever prove it.